today on Real Radio.
Well, I read a book. Forget the book. Read the Bible. Well, this guy said he died, and then he came back, and he said there's nothing to worry about. It's really cool. Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 2, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. God sent the Old Testament prophet Isaiah to urge the divided nation of Israel to repent from their sins and return to Him. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet because he foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days. In Part 1 from Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah delivers his message to the people of Israel in a poem that he shares in the form of a parable. The poem is about a vineyard, which represents the nation of Israel. And God made this vineyard beautiful, plentiful, and safe. The Lord had expectations of a good harvest, but the wealthy, like a thief, hoarded the harvest, leaving no room for others in the land. Now in Part 2, we'll see God's judgment of desolation and continue to look more into the sins that the people of Israel committed and the judgments that God placed upon them. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah warns against carelessness, thinking that you can do whatever you want and God will excuse you. This deception is calling evil good and good evil. And like our culture today, the people of Israel rewrote God's code of morality. But God will not be mocked, and so He lifted His hand of protection from them. And now continuing his lesson called Being Right with God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Proverbs chapter 23, 29. Who has woe? Okay, this is great. Listen. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Wounds without cause. Dude, where'd you get that gaping scratch across your face?
I don't know, man.
Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search for mixed wine. The word is spiced wine. There were spices that they would add. It came out of Babylon. They invented it. You could add spices to intoxicating drink and turn it into hard liquor. Hard stuff. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. Sounds like a commercial. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea. This is funny. The guy's not even in a boat, but he feels like he's in the midst of the sea. Or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I wasn't hurt. They have beaten me, but I didn't feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Tragedy. And Isaiah is saying the nation of Israel is like this. And I'm saying America is like this. Verse 12 says, the harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute. Sounds like a worship service, huh? But it says, and wine are in their midst or in their feast. The cocktail party, the happy hour, the social drinking. A little bit. It's okay. But they do not regard the work of the Lord. Watch this, church. Nor consider the operation of his hands. That's not easily understood. The Hebrew language says this. We're having a great time. We're making music. We're having a concert. And we've got our wine in our hands. And we are saying, God hasn't done anything to us. He's okay with it. That's what that means. He's okay with this. Interesting, huh? Well, I've been doing this for 20 years. Nothing's happened. Nothing has happened yet. God will not be mocked. It's very interesting what's being said here. Listen, just 1 ounce of alcohol, 1 ounce of alcohol drank, 1 ounce drank, destroys 5,000 dendrites in your brain. Did you know that? They're not replaced. 5,000. 1 ounce, 5,000 dendrites. You say, I've got millions of dendrites. Clearly, all of us need as many dendrites as we can keep. Right? You're thinking you can sacrifice some dendrites. I think we need all the brain power we can muster these days. Now, I'm laying this down pretty hard. Why? Because you don't need to live under the control of something else. The nation of Israel and Judah in the south were being controlled by external things that nobody made them do, but they themselves. And remember, it all started with affluence. It's a tough call, huh? Verse 13, he goes on, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished. Wow. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Ironically, isn't it amazing? The woe, we're still under this woe of drunkenness, but they're thirsty. The drunk is always thirsty, I take it, from what we've read so far. Jesus said in Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear at the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Look, you and I live in some pretty challenging moments right now of human history, Christian. The days are going to get more intense. They're not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. God knows this. He's been warning us. How are you and I going to respond? To dive into the Word of God more? To cling to the Bible more? To not forsake gathering together, but make it happen more often? That's what we're supposed to do. Or, wow, the world's gone crazy. It's a terrible time. I need a drink. You see the difference? I had a friend of mine that lives in Germany tell me that the context was when some friends of his were affected by the bombings, the London subway and bus bombings, when the terrorists struck there. And he and I were talking, and he said, you know what's amazing about the terrorist attack in England? He said, everybody, after the terrorist attack, you couldn't get into a pub. The pubs were packed. The churches were empty and the pubs were packed. And he said, when I saw that, I remembered September 11th in your country. And he said, all your pubs were empty and all your churches were packed. Do you guys remember that? It was a Tuesday, by the way, if you have forgotten. And a couple thousand people tried to get into a 1,000-seat little church down the street that we had at the time. People came weeping and on their face crying in prayer. An unannounced church service broke out. I wonder what would happen to us if such a thing occurred in our nation today. I hope that would still take place. I hope that we've not forgotten God. But when somebody runs to something external like that for comfort and for peace, could it be argued that there's a sense that we've forgotten God? Verses 14 and 15, therefore, he says, therefore, what a serious announcement. Sheol, Hades, hell has enlarged. The word is actually unhinged its jaws. Is that graphic? Sheol, hell has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Yikes! That's terrifying. He's announcing that those who are continuing to live down this path and who have forgotten God, hell begins to stir for them. Isn't that creepy? And the Bible says that it opens wide its mouth. By the way, again, in the Hebrew language, it renders this in the feminine, that hell is a type of feminine argument that it makes preparations. It's always preparing for its guest, setting up. And when it's all set up to receive its coming visitors, it opens up wide its mouth to receive those that are coming in. You ever think about hell? Do you ever think about hell? We ought to do that. We ought to have a sermon on hell. See how many people show up. Yeah, I went to church last week. It was great. It was a message on hell. I don't know. When's the last time you heard a message about hell? Isaiah is speaking to the nation. Whoa. You guys have forgotten God. You've gone down the path. You're descending. And here's the deal. Hell is getting excited about the opportunity to consume you. Yikes. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 14, verse 9, the realm of the dead below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the dead to greet you. You ever think of that? You know, believer and unbeliever, the Bible says both in the book of Daniel and in John's gospel that once you've been granted life in this world and you live your life and you come to the end of your life having rejected Christ, you still live forever, you know. You need to read the fine print of the Bible. You still live on. Your body's dead, but you go into eternity very much alive. If you're trusting Jesus Christ when you die, your body's dead, but you go into eternity with the Lord. Big difference. This is not it. What's the saying? Is it, you only live once. YOLO. You only live once, man. Back, look, when I was young, it was like, eat, drink, and be merry. Or grab all the gusto. Remember that one, you guys? Grab all the gusto, man. Hey, you only have one life to live, and so we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And the Bible says, not true. There's a whole world of eternity after your heart stops beating. God gives us enough warnings about this, because you know how we lay down at night? This is how I think about it, kind of morbid. I'm really a bummer to live with, I guess. But you lay down at night, and it's kind of like you're dead. You lay down. You don't know nothing, but you're dreaming and you're thinking and whatever, I don't know, you're around me. And then you wake up, oh, think of that. Think about how you walk by somebody who's sound asleep, is like, man, is that guy dead? And then you poke him, what? Oh man, I thought you were dead. No man, I was dreaming about Burger King or something. You should have left me alone. But your mind is somewhere else. Well, that's a little bit of in my opinion, a little bit of a wake-up call. Or people will be in surgery and they'll have some event where they say, I saw myself in the corner of the room looking down at myself. We'll explain that one. Well, they're hallucinating. I don't care if they're hallucinating or not. Something weird is going on. And I am not going to take someone else's word about what happens after you're dead except Jesus. He's the only one that went there and came back and said, follow me. Okay? Well, I read a book. Forget the book. Read the Bible. Well, this guy said he died, and then he came back, and he said there's nothing to worry about. It's really cool. Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus. Okay? And everybody has the same thing, too. You know what? I was laying on the operating table, and I died. And I was going down. It's very peaceful and quiet. It's wonderful. And this light was coming. This light was coming. And then, I don't know, I woke up, and it was cool. I'm not afraid to die. And I want to ask them, what was the light? What color was the light? I don't know. I just saw this light come in, but I woke up. I want to, hey, listen, the guy ought to find out what the light's all about. Satan could have a flashlight. Right? Come to me. Who knows? You see, Pastor, don't joke around like that. That makes me nervous. Get saved tonight, and you won't be nervous. Number three, the third woe, woe of carelessness. Interesting, the woe of carelessness. Verses 18 to 19, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. They're mocking God. The word here in verse 18, that they draw iniquity with cords, is taken from what the ancient pagans used to do. They would pull, listen, this is crazy. They would put their favorite idols in certain parades. They would put idols on a cart with wheels. And they would tie ropes to it and pull it down the streets in their celebrations. Amazing. Hey, what's that? That's my God. Great. And he's like this. What are you doing? I'm pulling my God around. Think of that. That's what they would do that. They would flaunt their sin on this cart. That's what they're referring. It's okay with God. It's all right. As long as we're sincere and we worship all these things, it's okay. No, God says, no. Listen, any God you have to pull around, any God you have to put on a cart or set back up because it fell over because of the earthquake, I think you ought to get a new God. Really, come on, really. Carelessness. They start doing silly things. Israel began to adopt the pagan gods of Babylon. How did this happen? Well, it happened because of covetousness, which led to intoxication, which leads to carelessness. They began to get sloppy with their lives, as it were. The word carelessness, Noah Webster defines as heedlessness. That's an old English word, huh? Heedlessness, what does that mean? Yeah, they won't take warning. You warn them and they go, get out of my face. It means negligence, unresponsiveness. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't turn. And this is incredibly relevant for our day. When they would say, let him make speed and hasten his work. They're mocking the fact that God would never judge them because we are his chosen people. They would say, go read Moses. We're the people. You say, yeah, that's terrible. But what about a person who says they're a Christian and says God's not going to judge them because they went forward at the crusade? Well, God can't judge me. I got baptized. Oh, no. They're saying, we're his people. We can do whatever we want. We can send up a storm. He'll forgive us. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament that God will not forgive sin of the high hand. What is that, sin of the high hand? That is premeditated sin, where you premeditate it in the Old Testament. The Old Testament warning was, don't go and plan it. God will not excuse you. In the modern time, in our New Testament era, this antinomianism view is this. I can sin and do what I want, and then I'll ask him to forgive me. That's sin of the high hand. There's great debate if God will even forgive such a sin. Most theologians say, based on Bible, nope. Isn't that something? I don't know. I'm not going to touch that. I don't want to get close to that. Can you imagine? Under the idea or concept or teaching, go do what you want, and then just ask for forgiveness. Now, those of you who are thinking right now, those of you with full dendrite capacity, think that through for a moment. Do you think the creator God of the universe is that dumb? Do you think he can be duped? Hey, God, watch this. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to play a game with him. This is serious business. God's not like that. That's not God. The amazing thing is that all the while they were doing this, Isaiah is exposing their sinful life, but they're justifying their wrong, and all the while they're talking about God. They could speak Christianese, but not live it. And by the way, in doing this is actually, I don't know if you realize this or not, you might want to write this down in your notes. This verse, the verse 19, this is the breaking of the commandment of God where it says you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Did you know that? That's the definition of what they're doing. They said they knew God. You guys know that that breaking of that commandment is not cussing. Did you know that? I hope you know that. It's not cussing. Cussing's not good either. Don't get me wrong. But to use the Lord's name in vain does not mean you cuss. It means this. Listen, I know the Lord. I belong to him. And I'm a Christian. And then I get up and I go and live a non-Christian life. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. The word to take the Lord's name in vain, the word means to pick up and carry his name. As believers, we carry his name everywhere we go as believers. And that's why the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, for example, to walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? It means to carry his name everywhere you go. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. People should recognize us as Christians. Listen, they should recognize us as Christians. We need to make sure that they recognize us as Christians, not as being a goofball, not as being ugly and mean, or not as being something else, but being a Christian. Now listen, what that means is that we live like Jesus lived. You see, I can't do that. Join the club. That's why the Holy Spirit has to do it through us. The best thing is when he does it, you'll be the first to know. You'll be humbled by his work in your life, and other people around you will start being affected by his work through your life. That's amazing. Listen, it also means that the world is not going to love you for following Jesus. They're not going to like you for that. But you love them, and they know it. Number four, the woe of deception, verse 20. The woe of deception. So watch this. Covetousness, unsatisfied, of course, leads to intoxication because you're not happy. That life that's starting to numb leads to carelessness. And when you're careless with your life, making poor decisions, you're prone to deception. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that the Lord is number one in your life, so that in darkness or distress, his light can shine on you and give you peace. Being Right with God, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of you have visited our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you may not know that Pastor Jack also has the Real Life app available for your mobile device and on the Apple TV for fourth generation and newer. Download the free app and you'll have immediate on-the-go access to Pastor Jack's Real Life TV programs, daily radio broadcasts, that's us by the way, videos of his weekly teachings and devotionals, and specific tools and resources to help you know God with a deeper understanding. You can also connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook, YouTube, and so much more. Our hope is that all the resources that are available on the Real Life app will be an incredible asset to your Christian life. You can download the Real Life app at the App Store, on the Android Market, and now on Windows Phone Store. And of course, our website also provides a way you can download the app when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.